Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, how having a lemon a day, or better still, the juice from two lemons, can protect against epileptic seizures, from a National University in South Korea, published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Medicinal Foods, and a lot more on health and healing, always every day, information that can help every single person listening. If you've noticed, we don't separate people by identity politics, age, gender, sexual preference. That's all your own business, not mine. My business is trying to live a healthy life and hopefully inspire you to live a healthy, happy, positive, moral, ethical life in service. That's the goal. It's that simple. We're going to share that today. Yesterday, we did a very intense program because I gave you the latest information on why we should all be telling our legislators, don't allow any more 5G towers to go in or satellites to be launched until there's a public hearing with responsible independent scientists coming forward who have knowledge in the field. In our article yesterday, Richard Gale and I made sure that we cited the 26,000 scientists who wrote a letter to the UN and to all the world bodies, the governing bodies, requesting that they not implement 5G. There are over 10,000 peer-reviewed studies in the scientific literature. Congress has held multiple hearings, never cited a single study, never invited one of these scientists. They invited Dr. Deborah Davis and a few back a long time ago, 10 years ago, but that had nothing to do with 5G. And they did nothing about that. So these are dog and pony shows. We need to get really focused and really clear. These articles that take a great deal of time and research and scholarship, just remember these, just, I mean, people can get used to it. I remember once, it was at Harvard University in their gymnasium, and it was a national championship. And we had three of our best athletes, and we hadn't lost anywhere in America ever a race. And one of the guys came over to me and he said, oh, well, why'd I come? You're here. You're going to win. And I said, don't take that for granted. You don't know how hard I've trained or how not hard I've trained. I don't know how hard you've trained. The person is trained the hardest and has the best day. And sometimes even training hard, you don't have your best day. So don't take anything for granted because everything has an expiration date. So how do you think these articles get on the internet? How do you think they get broadcast? How do you think these commentaries, more than any radio program in American history, commentaries, original, hard-hitting, honest, they don't just come up one day on a monitor. You have to sit, you have to think, you have to analyze a problem and look at its different connections and see what are we not looking at? What are we missing here? Then try to find that which is missing, where people go, ah, well, that makes sense, and then present it. That's all on my part. Your part is to take that information, if you find it valid, and share it, because we have no power. I have no power. We're insignificant compared to the machine, to the deep state, to the compromised and captured mainstream media. What power do we have? What power? What power does little, tiny, insignificant, nobody listens to it anyhow, Pacifica have? My God, there are more people using a restroom at LaGuardia Airport in a given hour than listen to Pacifica all day. I mean, we have no significance. I'm there going on 45 years. Now, Progressive Radio Network, it's got an audience, a huge audience. I don't even tell people all the stations we're on. But it's still insignificant compared to the power of the lobbyists, to the power of those who've sold their positions of authority and responsibility for their own personal gain, sold their vote, like in Albany, such a corrupt cesspool. So the only power we have is the power of our freedom of speech and to share our commonality of interest on issues that if they're not directly impacting us, we're still going to be interested because they impact someone else. After all, if we don't care about other people's issues, why should they care about ours? So that's what this is about. So share the information in these articles. They take a lot of time and effort and research and scholarship. We're not paid to do them. We take our time to do them. Share them everywhere. Assume that no one else is doing it, so if someone gets an article twice, good. Now, we're working. Today, for example, I told you the lawsuits are being filed. Today, families are suing New York State to stop the repeal of the religious exemption to vaccines. Attorneys Michael Sussman and Robert Kennedy Jr. are in Albany as we speak at the New York Albany County Courthouse. And at 2 o'clock today, they're filing a lawsuit in the New York State Supreme Court challenging the constitutionality of the New York State Legislature's June 13, 2019 repeal of the religious exemption to vaccination, Public Health Law Section 2164. And there are 55 New York City families who held lawful religious exemptions, and they request the court enjoin the enactment of the repeal, compelling preliminarily and permanently exemptions, and let the plaintiffs have their religious beliefs respected. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all have religious reasons for not having mandatory vaccines. By the way, just two quick ones. One, if it's a religious reason and it's a part of their religious beliefs and rituals, that should be honored. And secondly, would you want, if you're a practicing a Muslim or an Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Jew, would you want pork or porcine inside your vaccine and you wouldn't know it? No. Aborted fetal cells? No. So the people, the legislators who are working on behalf and at behest of the special interest groups, including the American Legislative Exchange Council, they only care about, they've been told, here's a bill, support it. They're not scientists. If they're physicians, they choose not to use their academic and medical background to look for the facts. This is all about influence. And that's wrong. But that's the way it is. Now, here's a suggestion. This is only one of three lawsuits. In my office, and the lawyers that we have working right there today, we're working on everything we can to support your religious freedom of choice or your ethical freedom of choice. We are not opposed to vaccines. We're opposed to unsafe and non-quality vaccines that do not have efficacy. We're asking for double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trials with a saline solution, that's a salt solution, that is put into one group of children, and then another group of children are not vaccinated at all, and then a third group of children, so you have a placebo group, and a third group of children are given all the vaccines. So one group is given healthy diets, another group is given a placebo, and another group is given the vaccines. And then look at the end of 3 years. Which group has had the most diseases? Which group have natural immunity? Which group are the healthiest? Which group have the highest rates of autism? Now, this is a no-brainer. This is basic, applied, and basic sciences 101. They're not willing to do it because they know the outcome. Just like Monsanto and all the other GMO companies were not willing to have any study using glyphosate that lasted longer than 30 days. Why? Because the tumors began to show up in the rats about anywhere from 60 to 90 days after the injections. So when someone let the rats go their full life, Dr. Seralini, he found massive amounts of tumors, including mammary tumors. They knew that. Their own research showed that. We got that research through a Freedom of Information Act. They were hiding this all along. Why do you think Monsanto is one of the hated, most hated corporations in the world? But Monsanto has the money to buy the lobbyists. The lobbyists have then the money and influence to pay for legislative favoritism and supportive elections. And you then are left with a damaged child. We have a lot of Orthodox Jewish people listening to this program. I've lectured in their communities, in their synagogues, and I've counseled thousands. Why don't you consider this? Just a consideration, something to talk about with your elders. Why not have a massive, massive strike? Not go to work, but go to Albany. By the tens and hundreds of thousands. And let them know you count. You're a human being. Your children's health counts. You deserve the truth. And Albany is filled with a cesspool of lies. Think of that. Do you think that wouldn't gain some attention? If you did that, I would get 100 of the world's leading scientists on the subject of vaccines, including board-certified pediatricians, scientists, would come. I would arrange all that on my dime, out of my pocket, and they would be there to support you. Now, you have 100 of the world's leading scientists saying there should be a moratorium on these vaccines until safety and efficacy can be proven by independent standards, and then you show up. That will get their attention. Just a thought. So I'm going to go to some audio clips today. I got a lot of program announcements to share with you. Now, a lot of people who listen to our sister station, WBAI, for 44 years, many of them, do not have access to the internet, don't know how to use it. And so therefore, as a courtesy, I take my Tuesday evening programs, the Progressive Commentary Hour, and I play them one day that week on WBAI so they can listen. So tomorrow, last night's show, which was really powerful, you talk about getting you to listen every second. I had on one of America's most ethical and honest constitutional lawyers, a person who spent his entire career fighting for human rights. And we talked about the deep state. And we talked about why we're not paying attention and how our constitutional rights and liberties and free speech are being taken away from us, and what we have to do to understand how the media has been complicit. It is a real strong program. That'll be played tomorrow on WBAI. Now, to the latest on health and healing, so I wanted to share the good news that we're fighting back. We're fighting on your behalf. Not everybody is a fighter. Not everybody has the tools or resources. We do. We're the ones who go out there when the enemy's approaching. We go at the enemy. I fear no one. I don't fear the National Security Agency, and you can bet I'm at the top of everyone's list. After all, if you have the number one forum for progressive, independent minds in the world, you are the target. A little programs that people listen to that have got, you know, a few thousand listeners, we don't have a few thousand listeners. We got some listeners. But we're going to go at them. We're going to go at them. We're going to go at Wikipedia and Google and Facebook. Now, they have enormous resources, and so we have to be smarter than them. And you'll see some of the outcomes shortly, because we have, and we're still hiring more lawyers. I intend to hire another 10 lawyers. Not your normal lawyer. I don't like most lawyers. In fact, I put them right below, well, I won't tell you how low I consider most lawyers. I've fired a lot of lawyers. In fact, I fired about 8 lawyers in a row because I got them stealing hours. And just, man, do they lie. I want young, idealistic people out of school who have yet to be corrupted by the system, by Wall Street, by Washington, by the big corporations. I want people willing to fight on behalf of the American public. I want those junkyard lawyers who go in there and they don't give a damn. They're going to do the deep research. It's the research that ultimately wins the day. That's who I'm looking for. If you're one of those, contact my office. In any case, let's go to the latest on health and healing. Now, I believe everyone should have lemons every morning or lemon juice. I also believe you should have ginger juice, equal amounts, and apple cider vinegar. It's great for alkalizing the body. But I also know that there are other things that lemons do in the body. For example, they can help epileptic seizures, preventing them. That's a big deal. They prevent seizures caused by temporal lobe epilepsy. And epilepsy, by the way, for those of you who are not aware of, is a brain disorder that causes seizures. Millions of Americans have epilepsy. And epileptic seizures occur when there is a disturbance in the brain's electrical activity. And most of these are categorized as either focal or generalized seizures. Like a focal, F-O-C-A-L, onset seizure, starts just one part of the brain. This type of seizure can affect either a large part of the brain's hemisphere or just a small area in the lobes. Then there's a generalized onset seizures. On the other hand, they affect both sides of the brain at once. And it's a tonic clonic seizures, or what people refer to as epilepsy. So now by taking lemons, you can have that process interfered with, and that is good. So get your lemons every day. It can make a difference. And why? Because they believe that it is the hesperitin, H-E-S-P-E-R-E-T-I-N. That is a chemical in lemons. It's a flavonone. And it's also in grapefruit, and it's in limes as well. But it passes easily the blood-brain barrier and protects the brain from the adverse effects of oxidative stress. That's why everyone that I have on a protocol for Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, ALS, I make sure that their body is flooded with flavonones every day. The phenolic compounds provide the brain with multiple health benefits. And I want to get as many health benefits to stop the neurodegeneration disorders, and that can be done with that. So get your lemons. Also, for those who are pregnant, University of Sydney has a study about preeclampsia risk can be reduced by a healthy, high-fiber diet. And that's because the fiber breaks down in the gut by bacteria, and the gut bacteria, when it breaks down, can positively influence the immune system. So if you want to have less eclampsia, then make sure that you have high fiber. This was published in Nature Communications. Also, for those of you who have had a problem with cancers, side effects, University of Buffalo found that light therapy, L-I-G-H-T, could replace opiates as the main treatment for cancer treatment side effects. This was published in Support of Care in Cancer from the International Society of Oral Oncology. Light therapy. And light therapy is making a big comeback. It's a form of low-dose light therapy for the prevention of oral mucositis caused by radiation therapy from head and neck cancer or stem cell transplants. So, light therapy. And if you go to the archives, I did a program on light therapy. Carnosine. Carno, C-A-R-N-O, sine, S-I-N-E, is neuroprotective. Now, we knew it was anti-aging and helped lengthen the telomeres at the end of your chromosomes, but now it is protecting your brain, especially from stroke. This is from Moscow Research Center of Neurology. And that's terrific. I suggest 1,000, 2,000 milligrams of carnosine a day. And from Indiana University, published in the peer-reviewed journal Hypertension, magnesium can help lower your blood pressure. Well, that's terrific. Now, of course, you're getting magnesium when you're eating whole grains and beans and nuts and green leafy vegetables, but it doesn't hurt to give yourself 800 milligrams of supplemental magnesium as well. Research finds Alzheimer's begins in the brain 30 years before any symptoms. And this is from the Daniel Amen Clinic. And I've been talking about this for some time, but they actually came up with a number. Remember I said that inflammation is the cause of Alzheimer's. It's the cause of most disease. But we go through periods of time in our life, if you're the average person, where you do some things, drink some things, eat some things, are exposed to things that are not healthy. And then maybe you rebalance yourself and you start being healthier. Here's what we have to appreciate. The damage done during those times when we were not in balance and conscious, that's still there. And that could be 30 years before you manifest any symptoms. And that's all the more reason to detoxify and rejuvenate. So remember, any form of memory loss is a sign of the brain beginning to break down. Deterioration of the memory can also come about due to head trauma and vascular disease and Parkinson's, and alcohol abuse. Even just alcohol use is alcohol abuse and lack of exercise. And so even being depressed can cause that. So we need to be aware of this. And finally, from Macquarie University, Western diet, that's the American diet, is linked to a state-dependent memory in inhibition. So that's something that we're seeing and have seen for at least 50 years. So if you go to a high-quality, high-fiber, plant-based diet with lots of fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts, then you will be able to have a better awareness of what food means. You won't have to have all these sauces. Didn't you take a look at hamburgers and hot dogs? You're not just eating a hot dog or a hamburger. It's everything you put on it. And that's what is disguising the taste, because mostly those have terrible smells and taste. But you adapt to that. And then that habitual eating of Western diet means you're going to have slower learning. You're poorer at remembering than those who are eating a healthier diet. That's what this study shows. Want to be smarter, have better memory? Then don't eat the junky American diet. That's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
We're going to go to a couple of your questions in a moment, and then I have some very interesting audio clips that we're going to share with you. One is, why is Monsanto in Puerto Rico, along with all the other biotech companies, and what's it doing to the health of the Puerto Rican people? You haven't heard about this, and I'll play a short piece of this. And also, I want you to see how Tulsi Gabbard grills a Russian hating general in Congress when no other member of Congress is present. I mean, we wouldn't know that, except there was another camera shot that showed a completely empty chamber. Wow. Also, Dr. Peter Gochi exposes Big Pharma as organized crime. Wow. Who's Dr. Peter Gochi? Just one of the most brilliant, acclaimed scientists and physicians in the world, and one of the founders of the Cochrane Group, one of the most respected medical scientific libraries in the world. So you mean we have one of the best, the brightest speaking out against his own career, his own profession? Yes. So we'll hear from him. So we got a lot to share. But just a few program announcements first. The station asked me to do a fundraiser. Happy to do it. We want to support our station, get it back up on its feet. To do that, we've got to pay its bills. And with the small audience the station has, that's not the easiest thing. But they've come up with an interesting evening. Now, the last time we got together, we had a standing room only, sold out audience at the largest theater of the three theaters at the New School. It was a wonderful afternoon, such a nice group of people. I really enjoyed being there. And we spent about an hour and a half afterwards outside on the sidewalk answering questions. Well, we're going to have another premiere for a very important documentary that you all should have. In fact, out of my pocket as my gift to the station, everyone who attends this premiere will get not one, but two copies of the documentary free as my gift. That's an $80 gift you're getting. And so if you want to join me, it's in a little over 2 weeks. It'll be on the 25th. And Leonard Lopate also will be there. And I said, I'll only speak with Leonard if he asks me hard questions. I don't like softball questions. Throw the fastball. Okay, so that'll be interesting. So it's going to be deadly deception. Here's the number you're going to call. This is WBI's number. And say that you want to come and join in. It'll be a lot of fun. 516-620-3602. Let me give that number again. I'm told they only have 200 seats left. Okay? Those are going to go in a heartbeat. Because if you know, if you've been to any of the premieres, they're always packed. And this is a hard, hard-hitting documentary. And everyone who's interested in the truth about the deep state and vaccines and big pharma and the corruption of the CDC, it's all documented here. So it's going to be a strong film to see. Let me give you the number again. Call it. Make your reservation. And that money is going to the station. I'm donating. I don't charge ever when I do this. I want to help the station. 516-620-3602. Or you can go to give the number 2, WBAI.org. Give the numeral 2, WBAI.org. Give to WBAI.org. Okay, and tomorrow, if you don't hear me announce that, it means it's full, and I look forward to sharing that evening with everyone. And then they'll give you the information on the theater and its location. Now, one other announcement. I'm going to be interviewing personally when I get back citizen journalists. I'm going to be hiring several citizen journalists. You have to be talented at writing, and you have to be very adept at doing really good research on the internet. We're going to be doing a lot of exposés. Also, I'm going to be doing my one and only for the year health support group. It's going to be 4 weeks, 4 Sundays in August. It'll be at 1 in the afternoon. Now, they're going to be two. They're two different ones. Here's the first one. And the first one is going to be only for people with arthritis, diabetes, insomnia, and fatigue. Those four will be, you must have a doctor's letter to verify that you have these conditions and what their status is. We need to know that. If you don't have that, you don't get in. It's that simple, because this is a clinical study. My latest clinical study is just being accepted right now for peer review publication. And then I'll go out and talk before scientific groups on this. And this is how we determine what really works. You have to have a certain number of people, and they have to follow a protocol, and then you have to have statistically significant results, and mine are only with lifestyle behavior modification. No medicine is involved. You stay on your doctor's protocols. You don't stop taking your meds. Only your doctor can tell you to stop taking your meds. But you have to have proof that you have diabetes, proof that you have arthritis, and whatever proof that you have insomnia and fatigue. Here's the number you're going to call. It's a limited study. It's not like a big church where I have 500 people, or the Robert F. Kennedy Junior High School I used to use with 800 seats filled twice a night, 1,600 people. This is limited to 50 people. So call 646-926-5459, 646-926-5459. And you'll speak with Travis, and he'll give the information you need. But you must get your paperwork in before, or you can't get in. The second one, you don't have to have paperwork from a doctor. I'm finding a phenomena everywhere I go. Loneliness, sadness, apathy, resignation of life, where people just, they kind of have given up. They're in a fog. They don't know what to do with themselves. So following the first lecture series, the workshop will be a second. And let's see over those 4 weeks if we can't bring people out of your sadness back into happiness, out of incompleteness and apathy into engagement of life and its issues. And I believe we can. I know we can. So those who would like to get out of their depression, their loneliness, their sadness, their apathy, call the same number, okay? Now let's take one of the questions from the audience.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for your service. It's been very good. And keeps me honest with myself about dieting and exercise. I wanted to know if you could tell us, what is, you said that the commercial hair dye, besides all the other chemicals, the dye, the coloring agent itself is bad. Could you be more explicit?
Yes. On most of your hair dyes, you have carcinogenic agents. And we've known this for over 40 years. I was doing stories on this back in the 1970s. And they can permeate into the scalp and into the different tissue and ultimately into your circulation. So there are certain things you don't want. You don't want these permanent hair dyes. You don't want alcohol. You don't want ammonia. And you don't want parabens. Those are the four things you don't want. What you do want, and they exist, are natural plant-derived oils. Now, these oils then have different coloring agents. The birch, for example, the essential oil has salicylic acid and methyl salicylate and some of the main ingredients. So, in that, by the way, that's a toning and soothing. And it also has natural antiseptic properties. And that can keep your scalp healthy and it's antifungal. So there's natural properties in the natural plant dyes. And if you could, for example, if you use birch as one of the major ingredients in many anti-dandruff shampoos, it effectively removes dandruff and strengthens the hair from its root. And you want to be improving your hair root circulation by making sure your overall microcirculation is good. And ginkgo biloba helps do that at about 1 to 300 milligrams a day in divided doses, as well as cayenne also increases circulation, and vitamin E from tocotrienols at 2 to 400 units does that. And then you want something that will actually strengthen the root system. And there you have cinchona, C-I-N-C-H-O-N-A. It's used in different ways as an astringent, and it stimulates hair growth. So witch hazel has flavonoids, essential oils, protects the scalp. So look for the ones that contain echinacea, which strengthens your hair follicles, and it also makes the hair, echinacea does, silkier, smoother, more lustrous. Also, walnut intensifies the color and a purifying agent. And walnuts are good in these natural hair colorers. Now, these are not dyes. Even rhubarb is used in some. So look for the ones, read at the label and see that they are allowing the hair to be colored, not permanently, but with ingredients that are not toxic to the scalp or to the hair. Okay, we'll take one more call.
Yes, Gary, thank you for the service. I have a question, a health question. Perhaps you can let us know what is the best way, natural way, homeopathic way, to unclog arterial blockage or heart blockage. Have a good day.
Okay, it wouldn't be through homeopathy. Homeopathy is wonderful for a lot of other conditions, but I finished filming this year Dr. Dean Ornish, in my personal opinion, the most important pioneering voice for natural approaches to heart disease in American history. because not only did he do it 40 years ago, I was there. I was the only person there with him filming it downtown, where you had these people with congestive heart failure and 90% blockage of their carotid arteries. And he was able to reverse it with just a plant-based diet, exercise, and stress management. And then he published that in two peer-reviewed journals. He duplicated it again a few years later, but it caused no change whatsoever. Individual doctors were aware of it and started to incorporate that into their own practice. But there was no paradigm shift. There was no major ooh-ah moment. Now he's done it again. He took 9 patients who all were so sick with heart disease that they required heart transplants, where the heart literally would be taken out of the body and another donor heart put in. All 9 of those were able not to have heart transplants because through the same diet, what we're doing is simple. A plant-based diet, a healthy plant-based diet, rich in the omega-3 fatty acids. There's your walnuts and your avocados, for example, and flaxseed and flaxseed oil. And exercise an hour a day. And what I would use that he did not was nutrients. The most important nutrients for your heart are, number one, without any question, magnesium, citrate, C-I-T-R-A-T-E, generally at 1,000 milligrams, 1,200 milligrams a day, half in the morning, half in the evening. I believe if the average American took 1,200 milligrams of magnesium citrate a day, one in the morning, one in the evening, you could reduce heart attacks by probably 50% in 1 year. Coenzyme Q10, ubiquinol, probably 300 milligrams in the morning, 300 in the afternoon. L-carnitine, which produces energy in the heart, about 1,000 milligrams in the morning, 1,000 in the afternoon. Cayenne, to keep the blood thin. And vitamin E at 800 units. These are all very important for the heart. Now, there are other things for the heart, like hawthorn, that also is very good. Juna herb is very good. But those are where I would start. And then the best thing to de-occlude your arteries would be pomegranates, either fresh, like a cup, or concentrate, maybe 3 ounces of concentrate, or a glass of the juice, maybe a 16-ounce glass of juice. All right, that's just the beginning of it. But it does make a difference. That's all the time we have for those. Now I want to go over, and we're going to play a couple different, I think, very important. For those who speak Spanish, you'll have no trouble understanding some of the statements in here. For anyone who doesn't, I'll just tell you that what the person is saying in here, it's a woman. She was one of the top scientists working for Monsanto in Puerto Rico, and she's saying that she was very sick. And her glove there was a part of her arm where between the glove and her sleeve, and a piece of genetically engineered corn touched that, and immediately there was all kinds of rashes and symptoms, and she got very sick, and she had a hard time breathing. There were times when she couldn't even breathe at all, and Monsanto terminated her. And she said that she was afraid of dying, and she had 3 children, because not everyone is going to speak Spanish, and that's just what she's saying. Now let's go to this. Who knew that Monsanto and all Syngenta and DuPont, they're all in Puerto Rico. How did they get the rights to do all this experimenting? And they're given all a 90% tax deduction, and they're given the same rights as a farmer, and yet the average farmer cannot farm more than 500 acres, and they've got thousands of acres. What kind of political nonsense went on behind the scenes, and why was all this done so quietly? Here it is.
World start here in Puerto Rico.
While the U.S. territory drowns in billions of dollars in debt, its government is giving agrochemical corporations like Monsanto, now owned by Bayer, huge tax breaks to test and grow GMO seeds. And now some Puerto Ricans are resisting, saying Monsanto has not only cost them their livelihood, it's making them sick.
I cry because I think that maybe I will die.
Why would you want to continue using a chemical like glyphosate that is being blamed for cancer?
This is all Monsanto's. We just want them out of here. They're killing us with these pesticides, you know? They're f***ing us up.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't feel the same anymore.
What do you feel?
Watery eyes, itchy, you know? That stuff stinks.
Alexis and his grandfather Jose live in a small neighborhood in Puerto Rico's southern municipality of Juana Díaz. Right across the street from their home is a field owned by Monsanto, now Bayer. Major multinational seed companies operate here, using this fertile land to test and grow genetically modified crops. Monsanto alone controls about 3,000 acres. Monsanto was founded as a chemical company in 1901. It was responsible for the deadly herbicide Agent Orange used by the U.S. military during the Vietnam War. Over time, Monsanto shifted to agriculture, becoming one of the largest seed suppliers to farmers around the world. And in the 1980s, it began experimenting with GMOs.
GMOs are genetically modified organisms, and they've been modified for a certain function, like to be resistant to herbicides like Roundup, or to maximize harvest for farmers around the world. But the use of GMOs is hotly debated. Some people say they're helping to solve the world's hunger problems, while others argue that they're unsafe for our health and the environment.
Now to the mega merger that's taking Wall Street by storm.
In 2018, Monsanto was acquired by German pharmaceutical giant Bayer for $66 billion, creating the largest agrochemical and seed corporation in the world. Juana Díaz is at the epicenter of Monsanto's seed production, and residents here say the chemicals being used in the field across the street are making them sick.
Ellos pasan con los camiones y las máquinas revolcando el polvorín. Y se nos mete entonces el polvorín a las casas envenenado.
Ellos no se comunican y ellos no dan información escrita. O sea, ellos realmente no han informado, no han orientado a todos nosotros sobre el químico que están aplicando ahí.
Do you close your windows?
Ya. Bueno, sí, podemos hacerlo. Si no nos damos cuenta, ya entró el químico. Y nos damos cuenta porque empezamos a estornudar, porque nos da dolor de garganta. Porque nos da dolor de cabeza, nos pica los ojos, sentimos el olor fuerte, siempre tenemos catarra, aquí parece gente de fatiga, dolor de pecho, cáncer.
Monsanto has been called one of the most hated corporations in the world, controversial for its use of GMOs, for suing farmers who violate their seed licenses, and most recently, for serious illnesses linked to their trademark weed killer, Roundup. More than 13,000 plaintiffs in the U.S. now claim that exposure to Roundup and its main ingredient glyphosate caused cancer and that Monsanto hid the risks. And so far, several plaintiffs in California have won, with combined settlements worth billions.
So we're headed to meet a former Monsanto employee who's agreed to talk to us on camera. And she says that her time there working with different chemicals got her very sick.
Edis worked as an agronomist at Monsanto for 8 years. She carried out experiments on genetically modified soy and corn.
Es hermoso ser agrónomo. Es hermoso trabajar con la tierra, con plantas. Uno se siente parte de la naturaleza. Es un trabajo para mí que trae mucha paz. Pero en malas manos, pues peligroso.
Do you feel like Monsanto really took care of your safety?
No. In my case, I use chemicals that are very dangerous. They stay in their clothes. I learned from the hard way that that's almost cost my life. Que hasta el día de hoy, pues no he podido conseguir respuestas del químico que estaba utilizando.
How did you react to exposure to these chemicals?
Que cuando las plantas de maíz tocaban esta área que estaba al descubierto y esta área. Donde tocaba la hoja se inflamaba. Empezó así. Yo estaba embarazada para ese tiempo y pues yo pensaba que tal vez eran situaciones del embarazo, aunque era mi tercer bebé.
Iris says she later developed respiratory problems so bad she could barely catch her breath while walking. She said a pulmonologist told her she had the lungs of a 94-year-old and advised her to take greater care at work. She also says she went into anaphylactic shock 3 times.
Did any doctors tell you you might die if you continue?
Yeah.
So when the doctor told you if you keep working there you will die, did you stop working?
Yeah, that's the last time I have. Tenía 3 niños pequeños.
Okay, here is the question. Why is this not a major news story? Why is this not, as Puerto Rico is a protectorate, why are we not making this an issue to go in there and do a national survey of the people who are living in the vicinity? As you heard two of the gentlemen say, they didn't work there. They just lived across the street from the farm. And the chemicals would come in their windows, and suddenly they couldn't breathe, and they'd get sick. And one guy said he doesn't feel the same anymore. His life is not the same. He's tired. And these are the victims. Now, we have this in the United States. If you go down Alabama, and go down to Alabama, there's a road that has all these chemical companies on one side of the road and all these poor people living on the other side of the road for 100 miles. They're all sick. And yet nothing's being done by the federal or state government or our health agencies to protect these people. It's all about protecting the interests and profits of big corporations. I'm willing to lead a team of scientists down to Puerto Rico. If people in Puerto Rico, you're listening now. I know we have a lot of listeners in Puerto Rico. If activists down there can organize a trip where we could meet and film and get affidavits, I'll bring some lawyers with me and we'll get affidavits. Then we can bring lawsuits against the corporation. The government's not going to do it. Are you kidding? None of our government agencies are going to do it, and your government's so corrupt. We will do it. But I need people to be organized on the ground. So if you want to help be a part of this in the United States, scientists, concerned people from Puerto Rico, then let's expose the truth. It takes all of us to expose the truth. Anyone who wants to be a part of this can go to our office and speak with one of our attorneys. Neil would be a good person at 646-926-5422. And if you want to be a part of this effort to stop the pollution, stop the genetic testing, and help the people who've been adversely affected. Okay? Now let's go to Dr. Peter Goetze. And remember, you're hearing from a man at the very highest levels worldwide. He's respected worldwide as a scientist and as a clinician. And then he looked back. And I called him. I spoke to him. I said, I just want to make sure that I've got this right. Are you telling me that looking back on your entire career, which is a long career, I'm guessing he's in his mid-70s, that he's now see medicine becoming controlled by Big Pharma and being run like organized crime? And that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. Then I'm going to put it on the air. Here's Dr. Peter Goetze.
The Nordic Cochrane Center in Copenhagen and professor of research design and analysis at the University of Copenhagen. 2 years ago, I found out that our prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer. Our drugs kill around 200,000 people in America every year, and half of these people die while they do what their doctors told them. So they die because of the side effects. The other half die because of errors. And it's often the doctors that make the errors, because any drug may come with 20, 30, or 40 warnings, contraindications, precautions, and so on. No doctor in the world knows about all this. So they give patients drugs that they should not have given them, that interact dangerously with other drugs or food items or so on. And then the patients die. That's the other half. So the other thing I found out 2 years ago was that much of what the drug industry does fulfills the criteria for organized crime in U.S. law. And they behave in many ways like the mafia does. They corrupt everyone they can corrupt. They have bought every type of person, even including ministers of health in some countries. So there is a huge amount of corruption. In my country, for example, Denmark, we are regarded as having very little corruption. But yet we have thousands of doctors on industry payroll, although we are just 20,000 doctors. So this is an effective kind of corruption. The drug industry buys the professors first, then chiefs of department, then other chief physicians and so on. They don't buy junior doctors. So when several thousands are on industry payroll, it's really, really bad. And that's why I wrote my book, Deadly Medicines and Organized Crime, How Big Pharma Has Corrupted Healthcare. I hope to convince patients not to take so many drugs, because so many die from the drugs they take. In my country, people take so many drugs that every single citizen can be in treatment with 1.5 drugs from they are born till they die. This is incredible. And drugs are not that helpful. And they kill very many of us. We know that. That's why drugs are the third major killer after heart disease and cancer. So what we need in the coming years is to take far fewer drugs than what we do currently. If we did that and we were careful, then we could live longer and live better lives. Because drugs have many side effects, and patients often don't realize that when they become worse, that it could be a side effect of the drug, which they continue taking because that's what their doctors tell them. So when I was a specialist in internal medicine...
The full interview is up on my website, prn.fm. And we're going to close out today with Tulsi Gabbard grilling the Russian-hating general at the Pentagon that no one else in Congress decided to do anything about. And no one running for president has challenged these generals or the military-industrial complex or our regime change or our meddling in everyone else's elections around the world.
To add to the examples that you gave, there was a study that was released at the end of 2016 documenting 81 elections in 47 countries between 1946 and the year 2000 where the United States either overtly or covertly sought to influence the outcome of elections in these countries and were successful more often than not. And this doesn't include any of the CIA or military regime change overthrows that also happen in addition to this. So, you know, as recent as the Iraq War, during the Iraq War, we paid millions of dollars to plant propaganda articles in Iraqi newspapers, sought to influence Russia's elections in 1996. I say all this is to raise the question about if someone turns on cable news today and to hear a lot of the conversations here, one would think that Russia's actions in 2016, this is the first time this has ever happened, and that the United States does not have the history that we do with the tactics that we have and may continue to use. So my question is, how should anyone take the issues that you're raising and the attacks that you're citing in any context other than the historical context that exists?
So, ma'am, you made the point that I was trying to make in my opening statement, that I'm not surprised, and I don't think anyone in America should be surprised that Russia tried to influence our election because, as you have aptly described, we have been into that business in the past. And I would like to join Mr. Lumpkin's remarks in that this word hybrid war, I don't think gets it. It makes it sound new and exciting, and it's really old tools used in new ways. And what I didn't say well in my opening statement is the thing that surprises me the most is the boldness that Russia believes it can have in our spaces, that they can do these things and absolutely get away with them.
Have we lacked that boldness in U.S. actions in other countries?
As I said, I'm trying to open the conversation
sure.
beyond the election to all of the elements of national power, targeted assassinations, SCADA attacks, information attacks, elections. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there is a broader attack on us than just the election piece, and we need to be examining that in a holistic view and then again, I think, replying in a holistic way.
Thank you. You know, Mr. Garnott, you talked a lot, obviously you focused a lot on China and China's actions, both in Australia, but generally, and in different ways that they are seeking to influence policies, elections, views, etc. Why, and you know, whether it's you or General, and any of you would like to answer this, why is it that, again, all we hear about is Russia's actions generally, if you turn on the news, whereas there are countries like China, like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, and other countries who, you know, purchase TV ads, who fund think tanks here in Washington, who, you know, fund institutions in our universities seeking to achieve that same objective. Why is it that Russia's actions stand out from all of the rest that have been going on for quite some time?
So as you guys heard, Tulsi Gabbard asks a question that I've asked before, which is that what moral high ground do we have to judge Russia when we've been going around the world, including in Russia three times, in 1989, in 1996, and again in 2000, where we interfered, and then the CIA admits it, we interfered, and the media admits it too. The Mueller report came out. So this was right after those 13 Russian, so-called Russian intelligence agents were indicted by Mueller. So this was back in the day before Mueller report even came out. So, but Tulsi Gabbard is saying, you know, she's in that committee. She can't directly criticize Mueller. So she's admitting, okay, fine. So if these 13 people did this, if Russia actually did this, are we really in a position to criticize Russia when we've literally been overthrowing their own government, trying to overthrow their own government and succeeding in 89 through 91, and also overthrowing governments all over the world, South America, Central America, the Middle East, or North Africa, all over the world. We've been trying to overthrow governments that are more favorable to American and Western European capitalist interests. That's what we've been doing. So do we really have the right to criticize Russia? And of course, we don't. We have that. See, this okay. is the importance of maintaining.
Well, good for her. Good for having the courage to say something I haven't heard any other member of Congress say, that look at us, look in the mirror before we criticize anyone else. And that, to me, means a lot, that she has the courage to stand out and apart from the rest of the corporatized Democrats in Congress. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.